So, Hare Krishna. I would like to welcome all of you to this little program, evening program at the end of the month of Purushottam, a month which is dedicated to the Supreme Person. Now in the 15th chapter we find the yoga of the Supreme Person, and we will read this together in Sanskrit, and then I will give you a summary of the 15th chapter, because I have done this last Purushottam month as my personal vow. We would always chant the verses of the 15th chapter, and then we would go through the different Vaishnava commentaries to the 15th chapter. And I would, it's a recommended reading, and I thought for the benefit of all of you who are here in the Gaura Bhavan on the last day of the Purushottam Vrata, and all of my many listeners who participate through the digital recordings, if you want to have the full benefit, please get yourself Bhagavad Gita chapter 15, and then we will now chant all the verses. So please chant as long along as good as you can. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha. Utva Muram Madashakam Ashvatam Pravavyayam Chandam Siyasya Panani Yastam Vedasa Vedave Adas Chodvam Pashritastasya Shaka Guna Praveda Vishaya Pravala Adasya Mulanyanu Santatani Kamanu Bandini Manushya Loke Narupamasye Hatato Palapyate Nanto Nachadir Nachasam Pratishta Ashvataminam Suviduramulam Asanga Shastre Nadride Nachetva Tata padam tat parimargita vayam yasmin gatana nivatanti buya tameva chadyam purusham prapateye yata pravriddhi pashita purani nirmana moha jita sanga dosha Adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama Dvandva vimokta sukha dukkha sangya Gacchantya muda padam navyayamta Natatbasayato suyo nashashanko napavakaha Yatkatvana nivatante Tattama paramang mama Mamai vangso jiva loke Jiva bhuta sanatana Manashashtan indriyani Prakitistani karshati Shariram yata vapnoti Yachap yutkramati shvaraha Grihit vaitani samyati Vayo gandhani vashayat Shotram shakshushpashanam cha Rasanam grahanam evacha Adishtaya manaschayam Vishayan upasevate Utkramantam stitam vapi Bunyanam vagunanvitam vimudananu pasyanti pasyanti jnana shakshushaha yatanto yoginas chainam pasyantyatmanyavistitam yatanto pyakritatmano nainam pasyantyachetasa yadadityagatam tejo jagadvasayate kilam jatsangramasi yatsakno tattejo vidimamakam gamavishyachabhutani dharayam yahamojasa pushnami chodadi sarava somo butvavasatmaka aham vaishvanaro butva praninam dehamashrita pranapana samayukta pachamyanam chaturvidam savasya cham ritisannivishto matasmiti jnanam apohanam cha vedaisya sarvameva vedyo vedantakrit vedaviteva chaham dvavimo purusho loke charaschakshareva cha charasavani bhutani kutastokshara uchyate uttama purushastvanya paramatmetyudadrita yolokatrayamavishya vibhadyavyayaishvaraha yasmacharam atitoham aksaradapi chottamaha apitano atosmi loke vedecha pratita purushottamaha yomang evang asamudo janati purushottamam sasarva vitvajati mang savabhavina bharata iti guyatamam shastram idam uktam mayanagam etat pudva buddhiman syat krita krityascha bharata. Lord Purushottam ki jai. Now I would like to request you to put the books aside for a moment. This is called the Yoga of the Supreme Person, and why this chapter is named like this will become clear if we go through the concepts. First, the first three verses are describing the entanglement in the material world. They describe the material world as a big, big banyan tree, and the living entity as someone who moves on the branches of the tree trying to enjoy the fruits. Now, by this karmic activity, the living entity takes care that he's born and born again in the entanglement of the tree. But these verses, this series of verses which describe the entanglement in the material world and the cycle of birth and death, make an interesting point. They say that this tree needs to be cut at the root by the sword or sword of detachment. The tree of material existence will be cut in any case. Our life is not here to stay, our conditioned life. Either the Yamadutas come with their axes, that is what Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, say, and cut our material existence, or, and that is better, we cut our material existence before by the word of detachment, and then are never born again. It's a nice point, isn't it? Now, how do you cut this word? I think the Bhagavad Gita, he says, with determination one must cut down the strongly rooted tree with the weapon of detachment. Thereafter, one must seek that place from which, having gone, one never returns, and there surrender to that Supreme Personality of Godhead, from whom everything began and from whom everything has extended since time immemorial. So detachment alone is not the recommendation of the 15th chapter. It is going or approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore it's called yoga, connecting with Purushottam. Now, you might think, well, how do I exercise detachment? And more concretely, how will I attain the Supreme Kingdom of Godhead? You know, I think the greatest obstacle on our path of devotion is fear. This fear is based on two doubts. The first doubt is, what if I surrender my life and there is no Krishna? There is no God. It was just an invention of the human mind. The second type of fear is, okay, there may be a God, but what if I do not attain him because I'm too fallen and I'm too powerless? The Bhagavad Gita answers these doubts and this fear by telling us what is the path, what should we practice. Prabhupada says the surrendering process is described here, that means in text 5, very nicely. The first qualification is that one should not be deluded by pride. Pride is not good. Because the conditioned soul is puffed up, thinking himself the lord of material nature, it is very difficult for him to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, when one is free from delusion caused by pride, he can begin the process of surrender. I believe that Krishna makes us humble. And he may send us illnesses, he may send us lessons, he may send us challenges in our spiritual life. You know, today I was talking with one of you about challenges in spiritual life, and challenges are good because you can grow when you have a challenge. And I feel every one of us should be very mindful of his challenge or her challenge, and then turn to Krishna for help. That's how you start your spiritual life in seriousness, because a real challenge is something you can't master if it's a real challenge. So, what is now the surrender? Let us study this fifth verse, please, very carefully. It's one of my favorite. I almost know it by heart. Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama. Those who are free from false prestige, this pride, I can do it alone, illusion, you have to be free from illusion, and false association, who understand the eternal, who are finished with material lust. That means you may have material lust. It may be in the body and mind, but no problem. You don't want to act on this. Who are freed from the dualities of happiness and distress, okay, you're up and down, no problem. And who unbewildered know how to surrender unto the Supreme Person, attain to that eternal kingdom. Now, Krishna has told us two things up till now. Use the sword of detachment and take the path of surrender to me. Now, he knows that this is a big subject. To do Purushottam Yoga means the yoga of surrender to him. So he will now talk a little bit about his powers so that we get faith. Because, as I said in the beginning, to surrender and then think, well, in the end, no one is there. That doesn't work, you know. So he will now convince us systematically how he is there and how is the only worthy object to surrender, because only he can take care of us. Would you like to hear his argument?
Yes.
Why do you want to hear them?
We want to be Christ.
Well, better you say, I want to, I think as a devotee you say, I want to surrender, but I just now can't do it because I'm not yet so. So I'm in unfavorable circumstances at the moment. So he first of all tries to give us some information about the kingdom of God, which we want to reach. He says, that supreme abode of mine is self-luminous. It is not illumined by the fire, no, by the sun, nor is the moon required, nor fire. It just comes. Or electricities. And then he says, everyone who reaches there will never return to this world. Now, Prabhupada says in this purport, I remember, one should be captivated by this information. He should desire to transfer himself to that eternal world and extricate himself from this false reflection of reality. Krishna now will talk about those who do not go the spiritual path, who do not go to this world where one doesn't return. He will talk now about the struggle of material existence. They struggle very hard to fulfill the ever new desires of the senses, and at the end they will die and go to the next material body. He will talk about reincarnation. He says how the foolish cannot understand this constant a circle of birth and death. The foolish cannot understand how a living entity can quit this body, nor can they understand what sort of body he enjoys under the spell of the modes of material nature. But one whose eyes are trained in knowledge can see all this. What this means is, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, we carry our material attachments and our material desires from lifetime to lifetime, just like a prisoner who's chained with an iron chain to an iron ball, carries the iron ball everywhere he goes, his condition. I think this should make us enthusiastic. We should understand, I'm a conditioned soul and I'm going with my condition from body to body. I would like to cut the chain and get rid of the iron ball. I think we should feel like that. So then, Krishna, to convince us further, he has talked about the kingdom of God and about those who don't, don't go the spiritual path, they are reborn again and again. Now he will tell us how he is here in this world to help us on our path. He says, the splendor of the sun which dissipates the darkness of this whole world comes from me. And the splendor of the moon, which is, you know, it's necessary for the vegetable, the splendor of the moon and many other things, as Ranga Devi can tell us. The splendor of the moon and the splendor of fire are also from me. Then he says, I enter into each planet and carry the planet by my energy. They stay in their places. I become the moon and thereby supply the juice of life to all vegetables. Now all of you have eaten sweets today. Do you know that Krishna has helped you also in this effort? He says, I am the fire of digestion. And the bodies of all living entities. And I join with the air of life, outgoing and incoming, to digest the four kinds of foodstuffs. Our digestion fire is going on. Then he's outside of us, carrying the planet in orbit. He's inside of us, helping us to digest our food. He gives us our food as the moon. And he's now also in our psychological functions, in our mind. He's inside of us. He says, I'm seated in everyone's heart. And it is from me that come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. And you remember something. Oh, that is Krishna who has helped you. If you want to forget him, or forget spiritual life, Krishna helps you so that you can forget him. Then he talks how he is in the Vedas and how he is to be known by the Vedas. And finally, Krishna, I would like to read these verses to you because they form the most confidential part of knowledge. He says there are two classes of beings, the fallible and the infallible. Who do you think you are, Gaurahari? Infallible being? Fallible. Yeah, I think we all know. We have fallen, it means we have fallen. The infallible are in the spiritual world. We are all fallible. I'm also very fallible. In the material world, every living entity is fallible. And in the spiritual world, every living entity is called infallible. Now besides these two, there is the greatest living personality, the Supreme Soul, the imperishable Lord himself, who has entered the three worlds and is maintaining them. My dear devotees, the word Paramatma is here used. Krishna is the personality who is with us in this material world. He is situated in everyone's heart as Paramatma. Yeah. When you understand that Krishna is with you, then only you can attain peace. Everything is alright. God is with you in your heart. That you must understand. It's Purushottam Yoga. Then he says, because I'm transcendental, that is, beyond both the fallible and the infallible, and because I'm the greatest, I'm celebrated both in the world and in the Vedas as that Supreme Person. And then he says, whoever knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, without doubting, is the knower of everything. He therefore engages in my devotional service. my full devotional service. You know, when this doubt is gone, that Krishna is not there, or that the doubt is gone, that I can attain him, then you can engage in full devotional service. This doubt must go. That's very important. Someone who doubts that Krishna is there, and the doubts that he can attain him, you know, he says it's useless. I am too unqualified. He will not engage in devotional, in full devotional service. And Krishna concludes this verse. This is the most confidential part of the Vedic scriptures, O sinless one, and it is disclosed now by me. Whoever understands this will become wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. Now, Prabhupada, he makes it very clear that if you have understood these things, I'm fallible, and there are infallible beings in the spiritual world. There's a third person, Krishna, who's with me as Paramatma, and who wishes me well. He wishes well to all of us. Even if we chant, even with Nama Bas, like Ajamil, who didn't think of Lord Narayan when he called out his little son to help him as he was dying, huh? Then Krishna thought, this person calls my name, I must protect him, he's mine. Please, my dear devotees, this is very important for me. Do not doubt that Krishna hears you, that you are too fallen, that you can attain him. This doubt is the wife of Kamsa, the demon of fear, who brings fear into us. It is not justified. It's an external influence. It's not helpful for devotional service. Instead, you should think, Krishna will surely hear my prayer. Although I'm fallen, and although I'm have many attachments still, and although I'm not yet able to follow his first instruction, which is, by the way, always analogous. When you read Raghunath Das Goswami, how he instructs his mind, he says, first give up pride. This is how all spiritual instructions start. Krishna also said, Nirmama Moha Jita Sangha Dosha, free from Nirmana Maram, this is my minor. I have an excessively inflated opinion about myself. And then if you turn to Krishna in a meek and humble way, chanting his holy name, he will surely come to you. Why? Because he feels he is called. His attention turns to you. And by Krishna's mercy, everything is possible. Whoever understands this will become wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. Now, Prabhupada, I would like to read to you what Prabhupada says. Devotional service is a process of spiritual understanding. Wherever devotional service exists, the material contamination cannot coexist. Devotional service to the Lord and the Lord himself are one and the same because they are spiritual. Devotional service takes place within the internal energy of the Lord. The Lord is said to be the sun, and ignorance is called darkness. Where the sun is present, there's no question of darkness. Therefore, whenever devotional service is present under the proper guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, there is no question of ignorance. This ends our reading of the Bhagavad Gita as it is. It's a summary reading. Because I would like to read a little bit about the mind of Krishna to all of you. And then I would like to make an important verse. I think you all remember when Krishna left the Rasa dance, the gopis were devastated. Earlier, they had made severe austerities which had only one aim, that Krishna become their husband. And Krishna had acknowledged this. He had told them, I will fulfill your desires during the Ras Purnima time, when that autumnal moon comes, Sharad Purnima time, the autumn moon comes. He had given this promise to the gopis, and the gopis, since that time, had always waited for Krishna to fulfill his promise. They had faith in Krishna, but there were severe tests to their faith. For instance, you know, their fathers had seen that the girls are only attached to Krishna, and so they all came to Nanda Maharaj and had said, we propose our daughter should marry your son. So all Brijbasis had come. Nanda Maharaj had asked Gaga Muni, what do you think? This is very unusual. You know, so many girls to my son. Gaga Muni had conferred or discussed with Purnamasi. Purnamasi said, this can never be. Because we know why. There's a different rasa which they had in mind. Purnamasi had in mind the unwedded Parakiya Bhava. And also so many girls to one personality. So Nanda Maharaj had said, no, it's not possible. They had come the next day again. Please think about it. How can they marry someone else? They are attached to Krishna only. Nanda Maharaj says, please believe me, your daughters, beautiful gopis of Vrindavan, are as dear to me as they are to you. And I would be ready to do everything, however Gaga Muni has advised me not. How can I go against the great Acharya of the Yadu dynasty? It's not possible. So that some other marriage arrangements had been done. So on the day when the gopis had to leave their houses to go to their would-be husbands, they all, without talking to each other, went to the Yamuna to drown themselves. And there they all met together, and as women are very communicative amongst themselves, they said, why are you here? Why are you here? Why are you here? We are here because we want to marry the beautiful son of Nanda Maharaj, but it's not possible. So Radharani spoke up. Then we will march in the Yamuna, and please, beautiful gopis of Braj, repeat after me. I want, I want. They all said, millions of beautiful gopis, I want, it was really loud. that the beautiful son of Maharaj, no, that Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda will become our father-in-law and mother-in-law. May this become true, and may Nanda Nandan Krishna become our husband. And then they entered the river to commit suicide, because they knew whatever you think of at the time of death, that you will get. So when this happened, Purnamasi ran out of the forest with Vrinda Devi and the Madhu Mangal, and he said, no, come, don't do this. And then Yamuna Mai came out of the water and took the gopis and brought them on the land. And then there was a voice from the sky: wherever there is attachment to Krishna, there's the success of all desires. No need to do this. So now they were called by Krishna. They had waited. They were called by Krishna with the flute. That is how. And they had waited. They had gone through all the tests. Now they were ready to meet Krishna in the forest. And what did Krishna do? He said, welcome, but it's not very dharmic that you who are married to someone else come and see another person in the darkness of night. So the gopis were thinking to each other, you have a need to speak about Dharma because you are adharmic. Gopis were very protesting, very much. So then Krishna had finally, as you know, he had started the dance, but then saw Radharani had gone in a huff and give up. He gave up all the gopis to go for Radharani. To search Radharani in the forest of Vrindavan, but ultimately had disappeared from Radha also. So he came back. And when he came back, it is described, the faces of the gopis who had cried for a long, long time, not meeting Krishna, they started to blossom like a particular flower which blossoms when there's a dark rain cloud. There's such a flower. When there's a dark rain cloud, the flower will go whoop. So the gopis looked so wonderfully brilliant when Krishna returned to them. Krishna was holding his chatter like this to display the flower garland which the gopis had made him, and to say, I care for you. Look at you. This is your flower garland which you made. Krishna really felt a little bit bad because he had done this with his devotees. And he knew they wouldn't understand why he had disappeared. So they asked him also, why did you disappear? And then Krishna gave a beautiful answer which I would like to read to you. I'm not like the self-interested persons or other persons you have mentioned. I have caused separation with a desire to increase your prema. What more can I say to you? It may appear that this conduct is deceitful. And believe me, I'm filled with constant grief because it may appear that I have cheated you. First I call you. But please understand, dear gopis, you have given up your friends, you have given up your house, you have become completely dedicated to me alone. Whereas I have love for many devotees, I can never repay you even one particle for your dedication. May you be satisfied with me because of your good qualities. You know, Krishna is expressing you something which I think he would say to all of you. He would say to you, Gaurahari, you have left your house in Switzerland. Rangadevi, you have left your career as a designer in Estonia. Sadanandi, you have left your university studies and you are now ill, but you still want to do service. Banunandini, you could do millions of other things, but no, you do devotional service. I think Krishna would say to you, you all have concentrated on me. That's how he feels. And he felt, but I can't concentrate on you so much because I have obligations to all my devotees. So you are one branched in your concentration. I'm many branched. Bahu Shaka. And he feels that's not good. He feels he criticizes himself. I'm totally spaced out. you are fixed on me alone, and I can't respond to you like this. This is how our Lord feels. He feels, you are so qualified. I am not so qualified. This is how God feels in relationship to devotees. Yes. That is very clear in Madhurya Kadambini when Krishna greets the conditioned soul returns to him. He says, you have given up your home, you have become a beggar, you have, and I'm very moved, I know this. Then you might say, like the gopis were not satisfied with this answer, they were thinking, well, if Krishna cares so much, why has he disappeared from us? And Krishna expresses this. I have disappeared from you to make you hanker more for me. It's very interesting. If you take this sentence and try to see, is it he only did this with the gopis? He always does this. Look at Narada Muni. When his mother had left him and he went to search for God, he finally found him. He saw how he step by step the Lord moved into his consciousness, first by the tinkling of the anchor bells, and then by the fragrance. Actually, first the fragrance, the anchor bells, and then Narada Muni had seen him, and then the Lord disappeared. And he explained why he disappeared. He said, you will not see me in this lifetime because those who are not pure cannot see me. But I have disappeared from you so that you hanker for me. And then he says what this hankering does. He says, the more you hanker for me, the more you lose your material desires and attachment. That is what happens by this treatment. He appears, then he disappears, and then we want, as I said to one devotee, then we are hopelessly caught by Krishna. We want that experience again. Don't we all have deep Krishna conscious experience? I think during the Kirtan retreat, some of the devotees told at least they had deep, deep, deep Krishna conscious experience. Maybe you were busy in your different services, but many came to me with tears in their eyes and said this was the best because of the experiences. Huh? Krishna does this and then he disappears because we are not yet so pure, but then we hanker for these experiences again. And I would love to be again with the devotees, chant in the Nam Yajna, offer my flower to Krishna, and so on. And then this is, it helps us. So this is a very, very important discussion. I like it very, very much. I want to say one last thing, the month of Purushottam, to conclude. And then I want to see if you have any questions. So we should all support each other, and there should be absolutely no need for insecurity, or that someone is not feeling cared for. Everyone should know the place of each other, respect the place of each other, support the person in his place. There should be no worry that someone else would like to do my service, or that Guru Maharaj is giving attention to this person more than to that to me. We should really free ourselves from this childishness, and really, and we will be able to do that by serving each other, by taking care of each other, by caring for each other. I'm very satisfied with your services and so on, but I just wanted to bring this out of as a value. I've written this article, Community of Care, for this reason. And sometimes we think, well, it's a program for everyone else out there, but it's a program which must start at home. Really, it's like, I'm speaking with Gaurahari about Community of Care, and he has organized disciple meetings in many places, and I hear it goes quite nice. I think you were sometimes not so, and even, we were thinking, will it work, will it fly? But I hear in Switzerland, for instance, Dirk told me, it goes like anything. Have you heard this also? Dirk told me just in Radha Desh that they have regularly meetings. That's one, because Gaurahari felt, or I felt also, well, let's start somewhere, and there where everyone has a spiritual master, the same spiritual master, it's easy, because someone is and it has, in Switzerland, very well, it has really helped many devotees. And of course I hear sometimes from Belgrade and everywhere, I think my disciples are not so good in reporting, because I also don't like, I feel if I have to report, that means I'm controlled, and I don't, I'm somehow not so comfortable with this thought. Maybe they have inherited this from me, but I want to encourage you also to think of yourself as a community, and somehow take care of each other in a loving spirit, and I think this will be good for you. I would like to bring you to the next level. That is, you should be loving caretakers of each other. That's the next challenge. In Kali Yuga, we need to do that. It's important. This is called, we must, as a guru, we must train our disciples. I don't know if you have noticed that I'm very much thinking of these things. Good. This is what I wanted to say today. Now I want to see, Rangadevi, you have cooked for the pleasure of Radha Kanhaiya Lal something. I think we should offer it to them, and they will eat, and then we can distribute it at the end of Purushottama, first they should eat. We will not speak about anything else. Will you bring? I think what we can do is, we can see, do you have any questions regarding this? What you have heard today? Anything? We have three subject matters. Yeah? Your Hari?
Question concerning this intensity of longing. You explain how Krishna is disappearing from his devotees so that their inquiry for them increase. And then
they're hankering for him.
Yeah, their hankering for him increase. And then this is purifying them further.
Yeah, further. Of material desires.
Now, I think we all have some type of spiritual experience at some time of our evolution. Now, it seems, at least in me, I see this inquiry is very, very low. Although
is it inquiry or hankering?
Hankering.
Yeah.
This hankering is very low, although some experience were given. So my question is, should we do something from our side to increase this hankering?
Mm-hmm.
Or it has just to come naturally through the process?
So the question is, I will repeat it, should we do something from our side to increase the hankering for Krishna, or will it come naturally through the process? I would say both will come. Let us look at the life of Narada Muni. He had an experience, and his life is really, after Krishna disappeared, he was really longing to bring this experience back. He started to meditate, but he couldn't do so on his own. He couldn't do it on, you must understand, he had sat under a tree and meditated. His process was meditation, and he had a mantra, which I've heard he received from Shiva, whom he met on the way. And he was using this mantra in mantra dhyan and silent meditation. So then, after he failed so much, Krishna appeared, as the Bhagavatam said, personified in sound again. In other words, he heard the voice of the Lord. He didn't see the Lord. And the Lord told him that he had done this purposefully. He wouldn't show his rupa again during this lifetime. And then Narada Muni, he understood that the Lord has come in sound form. I will search for him through singing his name. And it's described, he shamelessly started to sing the names. Shamelessly means without concern of the opinion of others. And he was prideless as he wandered through the world. And he became satisfied by singing, that I will certainly reach the form. He was very humble because he thought, I'm very, very unqualified. And he developed a hankering. No, he desired that time would come. That time means when he would become an associate of the Lord. He desired that. He had that in the mind. And then he went through the world doing kirtan. So, the hankering comes really as a result of purification. And we must help our purification. by following the systemized process of Krishna consciousness and by doing a sacrifice for Krishna. Not a foolish sacrifice like I don't eat sweets or anything. If you want to eat sweets, no sweets, that's good. Or a foolish sacrifice, I mean something which is really all about me and my ego often. But again, it's good to not eat. I'm saying with the right motive, you know, we should do the sacrifices. Sacrifice and service will increase the hankering for Krishna, because you get more purified. If you want to be purified, you have to sacrifice something, a mentality maybe, or you do service. I'm seeing from my own spiritual life, I did a lot of sacrifices when I was young. I didn't sleep, I didn't eat, because I just did my service. There were often in my room in Heidelberg, I remember, there were three plates all untouched, breakfast, noon and evening, because I was just not interested. I had so much waste of time and so on. And they were not even passionate. I was just involved in my writing and in my studies for lectures and for my phone calls and my preaching. It was a lot of sacrifices in the early days. You know, you can see that many disciples of Prabhupada will tell us about the sacrifices. And then all of a sudden I remember I began very much to think of Krishna and hankering for him, because the heart becomes purified from selfishness if you do some sacrifices in the mission. So, ja, Hare Krishna! So,
she just went in my room.
Ah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. So I'm thinking like this. Please. It comes by sacrifices, purity of the heart. Krishna says, Yesham tvantagatam papam jnanam jnanam punyakamanam te dvandva mohani mukta bhajanti mam tritavratam. Those who have acted piously in this life and the previous life, and whose illusions are cleared away, can engage with Dhritavrata, which determination in my service. So this acting piously, it means some sacrifice. You don't act on the platform of the senses, but you act on the platform of Bodhi, that is spiritual intelligence, which you put in Krishna's service. And by this, you can develop determination for devotional service. Now, I think that is... act piously, or act, this means you act for the pleasure of Krishna. This is a sacrifice sometimes when we are at selfless service, and that in itself will give you very high determination to go for Krishna, to hanker for Krishna, to serve Krishna. This is a very, very nice... No, you can do everything. Yes, please. So this is our whole process. Both. You have to try, and then when you're purified and more in your heart, the hankering for Krishna is naturally there. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, behind every exclamation of this conditioned soul, I want this, I want that, is only one sentence, I want Krishna. But only when you're purified can you find this root of the desire. If you are not purified, you want so many things. And then there are these things, you should hear the examples of great devotees who hanker for Krishna. Haridas Thakur. That's why we hear this in all detail, how Haridas Thakur was so humble and forbearant and tolerant. We hear so that we also are so, we are inspired in Krishna consciousness. The hankering for Krishna is the cry of the pure soul. The hankering for Maya, or the material desires, is the covered cry of the soul. It's covered with impurity, and should look for purifying experiences. Now we go to Nrisinga Chaturdasi, and we can pray to Lord Nrisingadev to please, please purify our heart from material desires and material hankering. There's this verse. I recommend all of you to take this Bhagavatam verse, because we are helpless to purify our heart alone. It's good if Krishna helps. I mean, not good, it's the way. And if you do that sincere prayer, Nrisinga Chaturdasi, where the Lord is so absolutely merciful to his devotees, then something might happen. Anchoring. For me, Elvis association plays a major part. When I go to associate with devotees, I always told them, I say, I'm Sachidananda Swami, you must now be super humble, because I'm not so humble by nature. I tell this to myself. Then, because I know only then I can be influenced by the good qualities of the devotees. Have I answered your question?
Yeah.
Yes, Bhanu Nandini?
I want to ask you about this light of consent, about
that
we do not make it.
Yeah.
How to overcome it if we have it.
It's a fact that we will not make it on our own. It is, this doubt is something which I think we feel, you know, it's very natural that we feel it, because we feel naturally the fact, the truth, I will not make it, I'm too weak. But with Krishna's mercy it's possible. And that the whole bhakti process rests on this understanding, that by the mercy of Krishna, the mercy of my spiritual master, it is possible. There's a verse, Mukham karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripatam aham vande shri gurum dinataranam. And that is the same verse, but the last line is different. Shri marava dinataranam. It goes something like this. The verse says, by the mercy of the spiritual master, a blind man can see the stars in the sky, a lame man can cross mountains, and a fool can become an eloquent speaker. In the same verse is there, it says, by the mercy of Madhava, Krishna, a blind man can see the stars in the sky, a layman can cross mountains, and a fool can become a speaker. So which one is it? Guru Kripa or Madhava Kripa? Both. The Upanishads say, Prabhupada has often quoted this, one who has faith both in the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to him all the essential understandings of the Vedas are revealed, both. To have faith in the spiritual master as a representative of our, of Madhava, of Krishna, and of Krishna, not one alone. Both need, you need both. It is said that the spiritual master is mercy, and mercy is like the pond to the lotus flower, and the mercy of Krishna is like the rays of the sun to the lotus flower. You need both. You need, the lotus needs water and sunshine. If one is missing, the other will not work. If the sun is there, no water, the lotus will dry. If there's only water and not the sun, the lotus will become foul. Yeah. So if these two things are there. In other words, I really feel often bhakti really, and there are many examples, rests on this understanding of helplessness and turning for help in a humble frame of mind. Bhakti is never a matter of qualification. It's interesting. There are even verses, I think you have heard, because I'm most unqualified, I'm most qualified, you know. Most qualified in that sense, when you turn sincerely to Krishna for help, he will not, you know, he will not let you down or disappoint you. But it's the turning to Krishna which needs to be there. That's not possible for a proud person. And it's also not possible for a person who is so attached that he just turns to material help. So we always find these, there are numerous illustrations in our scriptures of people from low backgrounds, fallen like Jagai Madai, and who sincerely turned to the Lord and were helped. And why are these examples there? They are there to take this doubt away from us. I'm too unqualified, I can't make it on my own. You know, how haven't we seen such a long description in Chaitanya Charitamrita about Jagai Madai? I don't know, is it in CC? Is it there? I know a long, long description is Chaitanya Bhagavat. Yes, it's there in CC. I remember, it's there in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Why in both scriptures? Pastimes are usually not repeated, because Krishnadas Kaviraj, who wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita after Chaitanya Bhagavat was completed by Vrindavan Das Thakur, said, I will only write about those things which are not written by him. That's a very good question, Manunandi, because I think we all feel sometimes disappointed with ourselves and think, again, I will never make it. We feel like that sometimes. But no, that's a doubt by one of the wives of Kamsa put in our mind. Yes, I learned this from Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj. Yes. In a Russian lecture, he spoke about this. Yes, Maharaj, do you know the two wives of Kamsa? I said, two wives of Kamsa? Never investigated with whom he was married, you know. I was not very interested in his family. No, important to know, then he explained. On our own we can't do it. I always think, to be very honest with you, with all of you, you know, something in me is very interested in systematic approach. Step one, step two, step three. And this interest I've always dedicated in understanding the process of bhakti. First you do this, then you do that, then you do this. I've totally, totally given that up. Because I think it's the human endeavor. I have become a believer in mercy. And that's why I feel happy in my life and so on. And I just turn like a little child to Krishna. That's all what I can do, what I do. In his most merciful form, the holy name. I think I should serve the holy name and chant very nicely. And when I do that, I think everything is all right. That's my credo. Credo means my belief in a sentence. There was a time when I understood. I chant anyways. I have to anyways chant 2 hours a day. I've given this promise. Let me do it as good as I can. And nowadays I think I must chant with sambandha, with the feeling of a relationship, and I chant the prayers before. That's all what I do. And in the Yoga Sutras it said, first you chant, then mantra, and then you put a, then you understand it's the Lord, and when you understand it's the Lord, at that time the Lord will come out of the mantra. You know, it's here's the mantra, and you chant with Krishna, please, Radha Krishna, please engage me in your service, and choop, they come out. No one likes to talk about spiritual experiences, but many devotees have experienced this. If you chant to Krishna using his names, then the name can save you. Krishna. Now our time is slowly coming to 10. I wanted to go up till 8 o'clock. Anyone has an urgent question? If not, then it's good to take prasadam.
Not urgent, but just a question.
Yeah, if it's from you, Saranandi, it must be important.
I think I asked you on just again about humility, just about that you in the seminar in the Japa and Ketan Retreat spoke about this core was become humble, like feel ashamed and feel
free. Yeah.
But I wonder how does one become also humble otherwise, because maybe not everybody needs to go through my soul with such
a yeah. First of all, thank you. The causes of humility are, these are not really practices. The humility arises, but you now shouldn't do something to become ashamed and then become ashamed, so to say. Or, and I know your question was not like this, but it's like this. When you are ashamed of something, you become usually humble. Or when you are, there were these other three causes. I must say what helps, I can say what helps me to become humble. I really think, and I've done many things to try to become humble. For me it works best that I remember I'm eternal soul, I'm very small, and these material goals which I pursue are not important for the soul. It's not important that my opinion is heard, that I'm getting right, that I'm leaving a mark in the world, or whatever. It's not important. I'm a small soul, and all this doesn't satisfy Krishna. And from there, I learn two things. When I think I'm small, I become a little bit humble. Then I think anyways everything is done by Krishna. It makes me also more humble. And I think it's not interesting, the other things. I become detached. See, an attached person is not easy for the attached person to be humble. Don't we all know this? When we are attached to be humble. Not easy to be humble when you're attached, that this must happen, it must happen my way, the way I think. So I always think this is not so important for the spiritual life. It's only important for my ego. And then I can detach. I would say this is a little, first I'm the soul, and anyways what happens is due to Krishna's mercy, and then I'm giving up my attachment by understanding it doesn't help me in the long run to go like this. I may even hurt myself in some cases. Now, when do the day? If the day is eaten, you are the pujari, you will know. Good, Karari. Yeah.